Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Today is a day of celebrating here at our Savior. That yes, once again we gather together to hear God's word, to receive his sacrament of the altar. And there is nothing greater on this earth than to possess the Word of God taught rightly and to have the Lord's Supper given faithfully according to the words and institution of Christ. And a vital part of that, and the joy we celebrate every Sunday in hearing the Word and receiving the sacrament, a vital part of that is the ministrations of an ordained man. Sent by God through being called by a congregation to serve God's people in the divinely instituted office of the holy ministry. St. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 4, lists pastors among the gifts of God that he gives to his people. This is as true today as it was when Paul first wrote it under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is true throughout the ages that among God's saints, there are those who serve by teaching and preaching and doing the things that God has given them to do, baptizing, absolving, and communing. To care for souls through these God-appointed means to create and to sustain saving faith in Jesus amongst mankind until the last day. It is a greater blessing for a Christian, then, to have a faithful pastor. It's greater to have that as a blessing than to have a large and warm and loving congregation. It's greater to have a faithful pastor than to have even an excellent building to gather in. No, without a faithful pastor, those things are simply not that important, as souls are misled, led away from Christ. And if that's the case, what does it matter how big the congregation is or what kind of building it has? It doesn't matter. A faithful pastor is a gift. And may we all remember that fact from the Scriptures, each and every day, not in the praise of the pastor, but in praise of the triune God who prepares men for the office of the ministry and who sends pastors to serve his people. As pastors are given to teach, so today St. Paul in our epistle lesson teaches by the Holy Spirit the difference between the flesh and the spirit. He identifies each according to their fruit, almost like St. Paul had been taught Christ's teaching about good trees and bad trees and good fruit and bad fruit. So here we are to learn what is of the flesh and what is of the spirit. Now the law teaches us what is of the flesh, as the law of God is there to reveal all of that fleshly living that St. Paul describes. If you practice those fleshly things, you are living by your flesh. And frankly put, the only living that in that flesh is here and it is now. Because that kind of living here and now only leads to dying forevermore. That the one who makes his life all about being here and now and living according to every fleshly lust is led around by his nose, by the desires of that flesh, and behind that flesh, the devil himself. The flesh is, of course, not always so openly wicked as we hear in its desires. Oftentimes, the flesh is just happy to get us living for the here and the now, thinking that this is really what's important, the here and the now, this earthly life, the temporal matters of it, with all the focus on what life is like right now and what you do now for a little better tomorrow here on this earth. the flesh considers this pleasurable earthly life to be the ultimate goal. And so the flesh tries to make it your focus. The Spirit is not like how some have taught. The Spirit doesn't remove someone from this earthly life. No, not at all. We still live in this world. In fact, that's actually one of the heresies that St. Paul mentions in the works of the flesh. Divisions, heresies, separating from the life that God gave you to go off and do quote-unquote super spiritual things is just another fleshly way of running this life and ruining the life to come. No, the fruits of the Spirit. These things, St. Paul says, there is no law against. It takes, in fact, a demonic person to hate any of these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's nothing bad at all with those things. And that our world, our culture today would hate any of them is more evidence of just how openly fleshly and hostile to God it is. The life of the Spirit is lived out in the same world as the flesh. But the life of the Spirit is not lived out for the sake of the flesh or its earthly goals. No, spirituality is the life we have here and now, but is lived out with a constant mindset on the God who gave us this earthly life. The life, then, that God has given us in Christ. And then the life that is yet to come by God's promise for all eternity. So a spiritual person will not refrain from work, will not refrain from these earthly tasks given to us, but a spiritual person will consider work as a gift from God for the good of the neighbor. And that God has so ordered this life that has this freedom from our sins because of Jesus, this life that is free from the guilt of those same sins, that we are freed to serve until He takes us home. That's a spiritual life. This division between the flesh and the Spirit is somewhat easy to explain, but it's much, much, much harder to live. And you know this. You know this because you know the tension that is between the flesh and the Spirit, because that's your each and every day of your Christian life. Because you possess both the sinful nature, flesh, the old Adam, and because you've been baptized, you possess a new nature, a new man created by God Himself in the watered word of baptism. That you have these three things as a Christian in this life to live by. That yes, you live by faith in Christ. And yes, you live by love for each other. But yes, you also live by crucifying your sinful flesh with its passions and desires. This struggle is exemplified in the story of the 10 lepers. You see, all 10 had some matter of faith in Jesus. That's why they go out and they cry out to Jesus. They call upon Him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Calling out for mercy is a confession of something wrong. Calling out for mercy is a confession that you believe the person you're calling out to can actually help you. And so they're looking to Jesus for help. But as the story unfolds, however, the flesh gets the better of the 9. Who do not return to give glory or thanks to God right there in Jesus. But only the Samaritan, the foreigner, does that. Only then the Samaritan hears those gracious words of promise from Jesus. Rise, go. Your faith has saved you. Jesus literally tells this man to get up and get on with his earthly life, but in a spiritual way, as a man not only healed by Jesus, God, but a man who possesses a greater gift. A man who has been saved by Jesus, who is God. That this Samaritan is spiritual and is to continue to live life spiritually. Since that Samaritan is spiritual, he also does things that the Spirit gave him to do. You see, the Holy Spirit works spiritually. You cannot try to be more spiritually on your own. It is the Holy Spirit who makes holy. It is the Holy Spirit who makes our spiritual life what it is. The Bible tells us that he does so by his word and the sacrament. And at best, once we are regenerated, that is, once we are Christians, once we are born from above, we cooperate with that Holy Spirit. That we cooperate mostly by helping in the denial of our flesh, by mortifying it, by crucifying it, as St. Paul says, rather than listening to it or letting that flesh guide us around like slaves. That the Samaritan calls upon Jesus for mercy at the first, just like the other nine did. But the Samaritan's faith is immediately just a little bit different. He hears the word of Jesus, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And then he goes and shows himself toward, or goes toward showing himself to the priests at the temple. But remember, he's a Samaritan. He won't be allowed anywhere near the temple, and the priests certainly won't have much to do with him. But he goes. What kind of faith is it in this Samaritan? What kind of faith does he have that is so brazen to believe Jesus and do what he says? It's the kind of faith that caused him to return and to glorify God, that is, glorify Jesus, to worship at his feet, and then to receive the blessing that is given at the end of the lesson. Your faith has saved you. And this faith is beautiful in that when he sees himself as healed, his flesh is healed, he turns immediately back and he confesses his faith in Jesus by both with the word of his mouth, glorifying God, it says, but also with his whole healed body on the ground in front of Jesus at his feet, worshiping before the body of Jesus, who is true God. That the Samaritan believed that Jesus is God, the God who indeed had mercy on him. And the Samaritan then receives so much more, because of course Jesus' name means God saves. And so Jesus promises the Samaritan, exactly as his name states, that his faith has saved him. That he doesn't receive just some earthly healing for the body of this life in this earth, but he receives a salvation of both body and of soul for this life and the life to come. This is what the nine missed out on in their fleeing back to their normal lives before considering spiritually what had just taken place in Jesus healing them. This is what they missed out on by being fleshly. But today you have not missed out. Jesus' word to you as today is the same as it is to the Samaritan. Rise and go, your faith has saved you. Not because faith is a thing of its own. No, faith always has something to grab onto. Faith in something. The Samaritan's faith was in Christ, Jesus. And because of that, his faith saved. He believed in Jesus. He trusted in Jesus. Not only for this life, but for the life to come. That's what the word salvation means. He trusted him, even when the world and his experience of life told him not to. Well, it's the same for you. Your faith in Jesus has saved you. And you are even more blessed than that Samaritan because you have so much of the Word. The Word which declares exactly how Jesus did save you. For St. Paul hints at that when he says that those who belong to Christ, those who are Christ's, have crucified the flesh. Crucified. For Christ suffered crucifixion for all of the fleshly living of all people everywhere of all time when Christ was crucified. That he came for this reason. To redeem the lost, to take those who are in slavery to sin, those who are led around by the nose by their flesh, he meant to come and take them and to cover them over by his holy and innocent blood. And he made sure that we are washed and cleansed in both body and in soul, that we are free from our sins, we are free from guilt, we are free from condemnation. Because our faith in him has saved us. And we are forgiven and set free. And we are blessed beyond just this forgiveness and being set free. But we are blessed then in that Jesus not only does those things, but then he gives us his Holy Spirit. That we would be spiritual people, bearing spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. From lives that have been renewed and refreshed by God himself. Lives that are full of faith in Jesus. Lives that are full of love for each other and for all people. And lives then that are full of fighting against the fleshly old ways that he rescued us from. These are his words of promise to us. And so we trust them. As we trust him, that your faith has saved you. All of Jesus' work of redemption is included in that promise. Because salvation comes by the work of Christ, and that work, that salvation, is received when you have faith in him. These words are the words that God, Jesus, the words that Jesus has given to be spoken to you through the pastoral office today. You have already heard the beautiful words of absolution spoken as well, that your sins are forgiven, and you heard them through the gift of a pastor. In a very moment, you get to hear further words of mercy and grace, words of salvation. Words given by Christ himself to pastors to administer for the sake of his own beloved people. Given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. In a bit you will rise from that rail and you'll go back into your lives as a saved people. A spiritual people. Living even now from what Christ has done and what he has promised that is yet to come. That the works of the flesh, your works of your flesh, have been crucified with Christ. That Jesus did that for you, for your forgiveness and your salvation. And that you have the Holy Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are at work in you by that Holy Spirit that Jesus gave you. And may all the words of Jesus given to you this day, may they feed and nourish you completely as you walk by the Spirit where God would have you to walk. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.